Amen. Thank you, sister. Appreciate the good singing this morning. Aren't you glad you can know him? And there is a big difference between knowing about him and knowing him. And I'm glad that through a personal relationship with Jesus. You know what's amazing? Not only can you know Jesus, you can know God the Father. And he has been good to us tonight. Amen. John chapter 16 this morning. Thank you again for the good singing. Again, thank you for being here. And I realize that you could be anywhere in the world today, but you're in the Lord's house here, and we're so thankful for that, and we don't take that for granted. Now, I do want to continue to pray for some that are out and sick other places, and just pray for them, but we're glad to see you. So John 16 this morning, let's stand together. I will begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll go down through verse number 4. And we, again, had the young adult class over to our house on Friday night. Boy, we had a good time with them. And we realized this, that 47 years old, I'm not near as young as I used to be. And staying up late hurts. And but we did. I tell you what, I'd do it again because we had such a good time with them. And I want to say this. Several months ago, I think it's probably this summer, you'll remember that one Sunday night I was preaching on the disciples and how that most likely those disciples were all 20s in their 20s and even teenagers, and how the book of Acts, you see, they preach Pentecost and turn the world upside down. And I just believe this, that, now I want to say this, I think sometimes churches get too heavy on one end. They put all their time and resources into the young people, or they put all their time and resources into the older people, you know, but there's got to be that balance. But tell you what we've neglected to do in generations past, I believe, is really invest our time into these young people. Because you think about this, those teenagers and those children and those 20-year-olds, they're going to be the leaders of this church one day. And so I want to tell you this. You've got some good young adults in this church. We do. I mean, top notch. I tried to explain. We had a good discussion in Sunday school this morning. Probably wasn't real biblical, but it was pertinent, I think. But anyway, some of them came out of there confused. And I thought, man, I was trying to make it plain as I could. So I'm just not a good teacher. They're good learners. I'm just not a good teacher. But I'm just telling you, we got some good young people in this church. And we ought to pray for them. You ought to encourage them. And let me say this, young people. When you see those silver-haired saints and you think, man, they're out of date. Well, you know what? They were where you are one day, and you see their faithfulness today. And you're here today because of them. Well, they paid the price for you to be here. So don't, I know that when Paul's writing to Timothy, he tells him not to let him despise his youth, but also we're to respect the elders, the older folks. That so that's free. Now we're going to get into John 16 this morning. John 16, verse number 1, Jesus, again, let's remember where we are. He knows, we know John has 21 chapters in it. We know in just a couple chapters, Jesus is going to be crucified. He knows that his time on earth is ending, and he's preparing that next generation. He's preparing that next group of believers. He's investing in them. And in these last times, imagine with me, Jesus knows that he has hours to live. And instead of fulfilling his bucket list, instead of hiding in the corner, he is investing his life into young people. And I want to say this, folks, it doesn't matter if you're here and you're 100 years old, you still have something to offer. Amen. And you ought to spend that time, the rest of your days, if it's one day or 100 days or 100 years, investing in other people, because that's what Jesus did. And so John chapter 16, verse number 1, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." Now, I'm going to deal with that word offended, and it's probably going to turn some of you on your ear because you've listened to what this world has to say about being offended. The Bible goes on to say, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. And I pray this morning our minds would be clear, our hearts would be open, that you would drive back all that Satan would do to try to hinder the service today, and that, Lord, you'd get glory. And I do pray for that special one today that may be here without Jesus Christ. Touch their hearts, show them their need of salvation. God, we need to hear from heaven today, and we want to exalt you in all that we do. So thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I want to preach on this thought this morning, putting it all together. And kind of an unusual title for the message, but here's what I want to ask you. Don't raise your hand, don't answer verbally, but think in your mind. If someone had bad news about your welfare or about coming events or about your life in the next few years, wouldn't you want to know? Now, I didn't say know every detail, but I'm the type of person, I like to plan. So if I know that next year something's coming up, I want to know about it, because not that I worry, but that I can plan for that. So Jesus is preparing them for what's ahead of them. He prepares us in the Word of God. We'll say, well, I don't want to know about tomorrow. Yeah, you kind of do, or we wouldn't study prophecy, would we? Hey, we kind of do, or we would not look at the principles of the Word of God and say, well, I know that storms may not be here today, but they may be here tomorrow. So we say that we don't want to know, but in reality, there is a side of us, we want to know what's ahead of us. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I really wish the Bible was even more clear about what heaven's like. It tells us enough, Brother Barry, to get us excited. But boy, I'm afraid if we had the whole picture, I don't know that we could contain it. But maybe a little more picture God give us. But you say, well, preacher, what do we do? Well, I'm just going to enjoy what God has given us. Amen. I'm going to rejoice in the much God has revealed to us in the Word of God. So when you're about to make a decision, do you want to know all the negative points as well as the positive? That's called balance. Listen, if you go and buy a house somewhere and the salesperson says, well, let's go in the living room, and if you've ever pulled one of those up on the computer, let me help you with something, and they don't show the front of the house and they just show like the kitchen, that's probably the only good thing about the whole house is the kitchen. I mean, if they won't show you a picture of what the front of the house looks like, you're going, uh-oh, there's a problem here. Houston, we have a problem. Maybe the front of the house is falling in. So they're going to highlight the nice things, right? Well, you better have somebody come in and check the foundation of that house and make sure it's not crumbling, because they may have painted the walls and put new countertops and new fixtures in the bathroom. But man, if 5 years down the road that house is going to fall into a sinkhole, I wouldn't buy it if I were you. Say amen right there. So we should want to know the good, but we should also want to know the bad. Now, there's some people, if we're honest, that's all they ever see is the good. I mean, sunshine, and I'm okay with that. But what's going to happen one day is you're going to get smacked in the face with some bad stuff, and it ain't always going to be sunshine and rainbows. Say amen there. Well, then you've got the other side. They never see the sunny days. Everything is the foundations crumbling and falling in. And I want to say this, Christian, we're probably the worst about this. Every time you turn around, if something's not going right, oh, that's about it. Christianity's dead. The church is going under. Oh, I'm telling you, it's awful. It's bad. Whatever happened to the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. Whatever happened to living in some victory and realizing that we do have trials and we do have storms. But buddy, if you read the back of the book, we win. Hallelujah. I'm saying Jesus is telling them that he's going away and they're going to face some things. But guess what? Over in John chapter 20, I believe it is. Guess what? He shows back up. Amen. He's right in the midst of them again. I'm just saying, Christian friend, that we need to put it all together. Don't get skewed one way or the other, but realize that we will face some trials in life, but in the end, we win. Hallelujah. So we don't want to be caught off guard, right? I mean, I don't know what it is about folks that October 31st, they want to go to these haunted trails and all that stuff and all that crazy stuff, want to be scared. Not me, buddy. If about the time somebody jumped out, one of those behind one of them trees with a chainsaw, Whoever's in front of me, I'd run them over, getting away. Or I'd hit the guy, the chainsaw man with a stick. I don't want to be scared. There's something bad wrong with you if you like being scared. Hallelujah. I won't even get on that, but amen. But I want to know what's around the next corner. Amen. I don't like surprises. I know it, we're coming up on Christmas. Say, yeah, I like to be surprised. Well, bless your heart. Man, I want to know what's under the tree and what I'm a-getting. Hallelujah. Surprises don't mean a thing to me. And so I like to know what's around the next corner. And I'm glad that Jesus is preparing them in chapter 16 about what's around the next corner. So let's look at this a few minutes this morning. I want you to see, number one, there's a purpose in his message. Do you realize the Lord does absolutely nothing without a purpose? And so in verse 1, he said, "These things have I spoken to you that ye should not be offended." So he gives, first of all, the precept. In other words, he gives a principle. He gives something. He's telling us in the Word of God that, Brother Barry, is always going to be true. Can we agree with that? Listen, don't get your theology from Oprah Winfrey, by the way. Right. Amen. Go ahead. Hey, man, that's good preaching. Don't get your theology from some dogma or denomination. Get your theology from the Word of God. Because the Bible says this, the Lord said, "Let God be true and every man a liar." So listen, someone asked me this morning, said, I'll be honest with you, I don't know who to vote for. If you look at TV, this one's hollering at this one, and this one's hollering at this one, and they're lying about this. Listen, you better stop looking at your politicians as the saviors of the world and realize that there's a God in heaven that's going to take care of it all. So we get our theology, we get what we truly believe from the Word of God. So when we look at the precept, we need to realize that Jesus spoke it. That's it. Well, it doesn't make sense to me. Put yourself in their position. They're putting everything on Jesus Christ, and he's telling them that I'm going to go away, and they don't understand it, and now he's telling them, he's giving more bad news. He said, here's what's going to happen when I go away. And I'm sure you look at Peter, and Peter's like, Lord, now listen, now I realize that everybody else may turn their back on you, but I'm not going to do it. Peter wouldn't believe the precepts of God. He would not believe the precepts of the Word of God. And I want to say this. You want me to tell you our biggest problem today? We won't believe the Bible. I'm not talking about this world. I'm talking about Christians. We won't believe the Word of God. If the Lord said it, you know, there was years ago, there's a bumper sticker said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Listen, God said it, that settles it. It doesn't matter if you don't have to believe it if you don't want to. But when God spoke it, that's it. Amen. It's forever settled in heaven. And it doesn't matter if the Baptists believe it. It doesn't matter if you believe it. I don't care if you're Methodist, Pentecostal. It doesn't matter to me. Listen, the only thing that matters is what God says. And when he says it, that's it. And so these disciples are getting ready to be told by the King of Kings, the God of glory, that they are going to face persecution. What's that got to do with me? 2,000 years later, Christian friend, may I say, you are going to face some trials in your life. You are going to face some heartaches in your life. You are going to face some things that if you did not have the Lord Jesus like she just sang about, it would rock your boat and turn you upside down. But you don't have to go through it alone. Amen. And so it was a certainty this will happen. It's not it might happen. Jesus is letting them know this is what is going to happen in your life. Friend, I want to say this. Can I help you with something? Listen to me. For you that are here that do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not accept him as your Savior, and you die without God, you will spend eternity in a devil's hell. It doesn't matter if you believe there's a hell or not. It doesn't matter what anybody says about it. Jesus said it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. John 3:16. We like that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But we don't go on down to verse 17 and 18 where he says that those that are not saved are condemned already. It's not one day you're condemned already. Mankind is condemned, and the only solution is Jesus Christ this morning. So We're not the exception to the rule. Just because you're here today and you're saved doesn't mean you'll never face trials. Can I help you with something? Christians get cancer. Christians die an untimely death. Christians have health problems. Christians have financial problems. Christians have emotional problems. You are not exempt just because you're a Christian. And here are the dedicated followers of Jesus Christ, and they've already surrendered everything in their life to follow Him, and they're thinking, man, there's going to be some rewards in serving the Lord. And He's telling them, guess what? You're getting ready to get it right in the head. Amen. That don't sound like a good message to me. That don't sound like prosperity to me. But you got to look beyond the storm, beyond the trial, and realize there's more sunny days ahead. Amen. And so we see the precept, and then we see the preparation in the message. Look what he says in verse number one. He said, "These things have I spoken to you that ye should not be offended." Amen. Now you know what we hear today. I told him in class. I said, "That's all you hear today. That offends me. I'm offended." You pray in a restaurant. Listen, there's going to be a day when you bow your head to pray and somebody's going to come up, tap you on the shoulder and say, "You know what? You praying in this restaurant offends me." It's coming. And you know what, Brother Charles? I've got a good mind to say, "You drinking that Bud Dumber offends me. Ma'am, you coming around here dressed like you are offends me. You playing that music when I'm up at the stoplight offends me. You pulling for the Tar Heels offends me." Amen. Done went to meddling now, didn't it? Hallelujah. Hey, strike that from the record on that last one there. But we think that because something rubs us wrong or hurts our feelings, that means we're offended. Right? But Jesus is saying here, when he says offend, he said that ye should not be offended. It doesn't mean your feelings got hurt. It doesn't mean that they don't like you and it hurts your little feelings. Doesn't mean you got rubbed the wrong way. Here's what the word offend means: to cause a person to desert or distrust the one they ought to obey. Let me say it again so you'll get it. You ought to write it down. To cause a person to desert or distrust the one they ought to obey. Jesus is saying, here's what's going to happen, and I don't want you to be offended. I don't want you to distrust me. I'm telling you this will happen so that when it does, you look and say, "The Lord told me this was going to happen." And may I say that when you face struggles in your life, you need to realize the Lord told you this was going to happen, so there's no reason for you to be offended and distrust Him. You also have to claim the principle and the precept that these storms are coming, but they're here to pass away. They're going. They're not going to stay. I'm glad that in those storms, I have to grab onto that same precept that Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." So while the precept and the principle is, "I will face storms," and Jesus says, "I'm telling you this so you will not be offended and distrust me," may I say in 2018, going into 2019, Christian friend, that you are not immune from the problem of trials in your life. But please don't stop there. You realize that with those trials is the speaker of the storm, is those that can, the one that can calm the waves, the one, my friend, that created the storm, is the same one that's with you, and he said he'd get you through it. So the preparation, the Lord did not want them to be taken off guard. Well, I'll tell you right now, if I know that something's coming ahead, let me ask you this. I'll make an example. Ready? What's coming up next month? Christmas. Are we in agreement? Everybody do like this. Does it come the same time every year? Right? So they don't, it's not like other, you know, holidays and, you know, it same December 25th, right? So if it comes the same time every year, Why is it that on December 24th, fellas, we're going, oh no, I got to go buy a Christmas present for my wife? Why is it that consumer debt is out of the roof at December 25th when we know that every year it comes the same time? It's coming, right? It's here. If you haven't planned for it, you are in trouble, sir. But we don't set aside money and say, guess what? I want to spend X amount of dollars for Christmas. I'm going to start in January. I'm going to put X amounts of dollars every month, and that's going to be my Christmas budget, because we've got children and grandchildren, and if we don't get them the latest, greatest toy, they're going to be scarred for life, and their brain's not going to develop, and they're going to be the next Charles Manson. That's what we think's going to happen. Then grandmas and grandpas are going, you know what? When I was their age, I got coal. That's all I got, and got some, you know, got some walnuts, and that's all I got. That's where we are. But we do every year Christmas same day. But it's like we can't figure it out. And so Jesus is telling the disciples, he's saying, it's coming, it's coming. And some of them are going, no, not us, because we're following Jesus. And you know what we do as Christians? Every time we hear it, it's coming, it's coming. No, no, things are good. As long as I love Jesus, everything's going to be all right. It will. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through some storms. So the purpose of the message was to prepare them, right? Was to prepare them for what was up ahead. I want to say again, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, there's no doubt what's ahead of you is a place called hell. If you are a Christian, as they sang about, what's ahead of you is heaven. But friend, may I say, there is a road from here to eternity, and you're going to be on it. You're going to have some trials. You're going to have some turns. So how do we handle it? Well, you see the purpose of the message. Well, look at this. Man, Brother Marty, it'd be great if Jesus just said, disciples, everything's going to be cool. That's what we want to hear. I mean, if we're honest, we don't want to hear bad news from the Lord. We just want to hear, it's all good. And we can go on and you know, go on about our life and just happy and everything, and everything's good. But here's what he says in verse 2. Doesn't sound all that great to me. He said, they shall put you out of the synagogue. They're going to kick you out of church. He said, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that they doeth God service. Hey, think about this. He's saying there, he's basically telling them there's a guy named Saul that's coming down the road, and he's going to kill y'all, and he's going to do it in the name of Jesus, or in the name of God, rather. He's going to think he's doing God service. How would you like to get that message on Sunday morning? I mean, how would you like to open up your Christmas card from Jesus, your letter from Jesus, and say, guess what? I'm getting ready to leave, and they're going to kill y'all. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I'd go, you know what? Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. But that's what he told them. So he says this, the persecution that will come is they will be excommunicated. They're going to kick you out. They're going to kick you out of the church. They're going to kick you out of society. They're not going to let you be the leaders in the community you want to be. You know what? If you serve God, that may be what happens to you. I know this. You know this. If I serve God, if I'm truly a Christian, if I'm truly light, it expels darkness. So there are people, Brother Paul, that I went to school with and I consider them friends. They don't want anything to do with me. Because the guy they used to know was right there in the darkness with them. And so you don't even have to do anything. You know what? I was at a funeral. A guy I played baseball with several years ago died. And boy, I walked in the back of the church and I could hear those guys, and they were talking about old times, and they were talking about drinking and how used to party, and telling. And I walked in and it's, hey, we heard you were a pastor now. Yeah, man, that's great news. And I know when I left, they're going, man. Yeah, glad he left. You know what I did? I went and got my car. And Brother Mark, I bowed my head and I started crying. I'm going, I can't believe they don't like me anymore. They're not my buddies. They're not going to invite me to the get-together. And I realized something years ago. All the times I was trying to impress people, Brother Ken, I don't even talk to them now. Oh, but we're friends on Facebook. Great. But you're ruining your testimony, ruining your life to please people that don't even matter. 5 years. Listen, if you were down and out, it wouldn't be them that came and lifted you up. And here Jesus is saying, listen, if you serve me, it's going to cost you some things. You may not be able to go to that church anymore. You may not be in society anymore. They may not like you. They're not going to invite you to all the parties and the get-togethers and all that good stuff. You need to decide if you're going to follow me. May I say in 2018, it's no different. You cannot be a casual Christian. You either have to choose Jesus or you have to choose this world. But you cannot have your foot in both sides. You can't. Not going to happen. And so he says you're going to be excommunicated. And there will be an attempt to extinguish you. To make you extinct. You know, all through the ages they've tried to wipe out Christianity. They've tried to kill every Christian. You know why? Because it makes people uncomfortable. But Jesus made a promise. And he said the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. They've tried to burn every Bible. They couldn't do it every time. Listen, every time the church was persecuted, you know what happened? It grew. And so there is a war. Listen, this is not a war between donkeys and elephants. This is not a black and white or Spanish and English. This is a spiritual battle that's been going on for the ages. We have an enemy that is not flesh and blood. We've got an enemy that was once the very highest angel in heaven. It's good and evil. It's right and wrong. It's moral and immoral. It's scriptural and non-scriptural. It's God versus Satan is basically what it is. And if you ever do anything for God, there will be opposition in your life. There will be a battle that you face. But you have to hold on to the principle, to the word of God, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And so there was an attempt of extinction. And then number 3, verse 4, there's a postponement of principle. Let me give you this. The Bible said, but these things have I told you that when the time shall come, you may remember. Notice that. Remember that I told you of them. Here's what he's saying. He's saying it's not happening right now. But it will. Right? The principle is here, but you don't need it right now. It's postponed until another time. But I want you to know it. Now, so that when it happens, you don't look and say, you never told me that. Right. He said, you may remember that I told you of them, and these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. So let's look at this, and I'm done this morning. First of all, the Lord's restraint. He, for all these years, these 3 years, 3 plus years Jesus walked with them. He's teaching them, right? And so now he's told them, here's how it's going to be, here's how it's going to be. Brother Brad, now he's about to go to the cross, and he has restrained from them things that would hurt them and probably would have caused them to say, I'm not going to serve the Lord. Now it's time to reveal them. And so this morning you're hearing you say, oh, that's good preaching, but I guess for somebody, but not for me, because to be honest with you, my life is just great now. My life is perfect. I mean, I got a good job. I've got a good family. I've bills are bad. Nothing's wrong with me. I mean, my health is good. Yada, 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 yada. You're looking to say, I don't need it, right? Well, how are these disciples going to understand their life years from now when they're being burned at the stake and killed for the cause of Christ? They don't see it coming down the road, right? And so the Lord is going to reveal to you and to me, like he did them, what we can handle, and we have to put it. You know, one of the reasons we do outlines is not just so you'll have a piece of paper throwing your Bible, because you may not honestly need this message today, but you may stick it in your Bible, and one day you're going through a great trial and you're going out on it, and the Lord said, hey, go back and look. And you pull that thing out and you start going, okay, now I remember this. Okay, let me go back. And it may not even be the points I bring up, but it may bring back the scripture, John chapter 16, and you go, hey, he told the disciples, he told me in that message, now I know that I can keep going because he told me what was coming up. So he restrained from telling them until the time was right. Can I give you this today? If you don't understand something in the Bible, don't get discouraged. Just keep trying to learn. And when you're ready for it, and when your God is realizes you can handle it, he's going to say, okay, I'm going to reveal it to you now. I may preach something you say, oh, I've never seen that before. Well, guess what? Doesn't mean I'm smarter than you are. It means God revealed it to me because I was ready for it, and now he may have revealed it to you. But you may read something and he reveal it to you and say, preacher, you ever seen that? I'm going, no, that's good stuff. I'm a Bible student like you're a Bible student. Anybody says they're a Bible scholar is arrogant and proud and probably don't know a whole lot about the Bible, because we're always learning, right? We're students of the Bible. So the Lord restrains some things, and we too are daily trusting God, and we're not to be concerned or consumed with what the future holds. I'm glad he tells us what's coming up, but I don't want to be consumed with it, because when I'm consumed with it, I stop trusting him and I start worrying about things. Can I give you, if you get nothing else, get this. Stop worrying about everything. Stop worrying about Tuesday's election. I think you ought to vote. I want to say this. I think it's your responsibility as a Christian to vote. I think you should vote. I think it is your obligation to vote. But after I've already voted. And I'm not standing up at night worrying about all that. I'm not spending my life consumed with what Shepherd Smith says. Yeah, he's a dummy anyway. Amen. So stop. But understand that if you want a good perspective of what tomorrow holds and next year, and get it out of the Bible. Not Fox News, not CNN, not MSNBC. You want to know what next year, what 2020 is going to look like? There you go. And then he commands the disciples to remember. What he said in verse 4, he said, and remember that I told you of them. Let it come back up. What can we remember? Because I'm going to finish with this. Hang with me for two more minutes and I'm done. When you go through the trials of life, when you go through, listen, you know what repetition, why the military goes wants you to practice repetition, why an athlete, You repeat things over and over again. Why you study things and you learn vocabulary words and you say it over and over again. So there's a muscle memory. So you don't have to think about it, right? So you don't have to, you know, how many of you don't raise your hand because somebody else says, I do. But when you get up out of that seat this morning and you stand up and you're ready to walk out to go to the restaurant, well, I know Baptists, don't I? Y'all already think, I can see it in your face. Getting to be lunchtime, preacher. It's past lunchtime. It's actually 12:40. You missed lunch. Sorry. So you get up And you stand there and first thing you do is go, ooh, I need to put my right foot out. Ooh, I need to put my left foot out. Ooh, I need to put my right. No, you don't do that. You just get up and start walking. But when you were a baby, you know what you did? You'd go. And the more you walked and you learned how to do it, you don't even think about it now. And so I don't want to wake up every morning thinking about, oh no, what's going to happen to me? I just want to learn to trust the Lord. I just want to know that God has my back, that God is in front of me, God is behind me, God is above me, and God is below me. I want to know, my friend, and that means that you have got to go through some stuff so that when bigger things take place, you realize that God didn't leave you in the little things, and so therefore, if He didn't leave you in the little, He won't leave you in the big things. How do we do that? We have to remember. We have to remember the past. Right? We have to remember the times when God intervened in our life. We have to remember the power of the cross, amen, where death was defeated. We have to remember the pain of the cross when we feel like giving up, that Jesus died in your place and in my place. Now we have to remember the principles of God's Word. And we have to remember the provisions of the Lord. God has provided every time. He's never let you down. And this won't be the first. Fact is, we've got to put it all together. If all you ever look at is the storm you're in, you're never going to see the victory that's ahead of you.